KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the fan from the 682. I'm a student from the Hockey Guys college class.
What?
Thank you, thank you. He promised to give us that extra credit. Boom, that was from Monday. Now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh, and they did get the extra yeah. credit? How many points of extra credit is that? Was it like 2 points?
I
on their final grade, or was this for a test?
I don't know why you're looking at me as if I have the answer to that question.
Alec just shrugged his shoulders, too. What's up with you guys?
Don't look at me. I'm not an educator.
That's a good point.
Man, I'm proud of you.
Your move
you
just now, said there. Corey.
Yeah. You put me in a position that I cannot come out of that one. All right, guys. I have a question, but I feel like as we're waiting, listen, when Brian Schottenheimer takes the podium, I will cede my time.
Okay.
Immediately, yeah. Because he has not talked since the end of the bye week. This is a very important time. I'm looking. I want to hear what he has to say. He is, for all the things that Brian Schottenheimer is and is not, he is a very good communicator.
Yeah.
And he's very genuine, it seems. Every time we've ever been around him, he's very genuine. So I definitely want to hear what he has to say. Until then, though, let's go ahead and rock out with some Level of Concern.
Oh, man!
It's true.
Gets me every time.
I wanted to start with cut 4 from our cut sheet, if that's okay. This is Jerry Jones on yesterday morning, as he is every Tuesday at 8:30. He comes on with us at 10:30 on Fridays. This is Jerry Jones on if his new defensive players will be plug and play.
No, they're going to hit the ground running. We've got their teammates that are there as well. And so you say, well, is there going to be competition? The answer is there's always competition. But in the case of our linebacker, he'll fit right in. He understands our system, plays it, has been in and out of it his entire career. The main thing is his instincts. He's got the ability to read the play and get up in the gap, which I think will be real additive to our defense. And then, of course, immediately we're going to get the help that we need with that rotation. I'm excited about our three defensive tackles in there mm-hmm. and the kind of rotation that we can have. It should be immediately impactful on our defense.
A lot of things I really liked about that whole clip right there. One, mm-hmm. he said hit the ground running, which is a term I used with him the last time we talked to him. So, Kevin, he said he would take what you said as a good note and jot it down. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he used one of my terms, and I appreciate that, Jerry.
That's fair.
The other thing was, did you hear Chris Arnold say, mm-hmm?
I did.
God, it's so nice to hear his voice. It always is.
Got you down.
All right, now let's go into the level of concern. What is your level of concern that these two hit the ground running?
It's low. I hate to say it. It's medium for Quinnen Williams, and it doesn't exist that much for – it doesn't really exist for Logan Wilson.
Because the expectations are low already?
Yeah, exactly. The worst defense in the league was like, yeah, that's fine. You okay. can have him. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's going to make that big of a difference. I hope he does.
Williams, or I'm sorry, Wilson.
Wilson.
Okay, all right. And Alec, I know you're paying attention to multiple things right now, but.
I'm a man of many talents, Majors. I'd say level of concern for both of them is low.
Okay.
I don't think one is higher or lower than the other because I think they're both going to fit in well. I don't have crazy expectations for Wilson, but I think he's going to fit in very well. Mm-hmm. I think he is what they needed. And then Quinnen Williams is a 4-time Pro Bowler. Like, I don't have to really build upon that. He's really good at what he does. He's back with the coach that made him a dominant force in the NFL. I think they're going to fit in well, and I think they'll make an impact somewhat soon.
Okay. I'm scared for the people that don't watch the game for Quinnen Williams. Because offensive linemen and defensive linemen, Kevin, like we watch these guys a lot.
Right.
Because... like, this is what we do.
Yes.
But a lot of people will go look at a stat box and go, I didn't see him do anything. And you're yeah. like, did you know? What? And this is always a very difficult thing because a coach or a player is going to be like, well, do you know what his responsibility is? And that's where I am right now.
I gotcha.
That's why I want this. This question is going to keep being asked over and over to the people that are involved. What does success look like for Quinnen Williams?
Take a look at run stops to start with, or run stuffs, because that is a statistic. But also, take a look at the success of your linebackers, because
yes.
I think those stats might tell you more.
Yeah, I think that factor right there of did he hold up double teams, and after those double teams were held up, was Logan Wilson able to fill a gap? And that's why the film tells you so much when you're watching the game. It tells you so much because you can see it.
Trust the tape.
Those numbers right there are very, very important. When it comes to Logan Wilson, just the successes of stops is going to be like go back to what Broadus said about Shamar James and yes, he has a lot of tackles, but did those tackles happen because the play was right there?
Right.
You have to make those. Now, Right. Can you be a Superman? Can you go do the next thing? Can you go be a playmaker? And Logan Wilson, can he fill that gap that Kenneth Murray couldn't? Can he see the things and anticipate the things that Kenneth Murray wasn't? I appreciate the attempted, you know what? Let's cede everything to Brian Schottenheimer right now.
Take a few moments and offer my condolences to, you know, Marshawn's family, Catalina, his girlfriend, and we had an opportunity last night to celebrate Marshawn's life, tell some stories, share, laugh, cry. Marshawn loved the words "one love." So we talked a lot about love as we grieve. And I just got a chance to really share a couple of things that I'll miss the most about Marshawn. Those top couple of things was he had the most playful spirit of any young man I've been around. His smile could take you to your knees. And in terms of him as an athlete, no one had a better motor than him. So my heart is heavy. Our team's heart is heavy. We don't move on, but we do move forward. Open up to questions.
Calvin.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. How do you help your team, the staff, just kind of heal and try to, as you said, move forward?
Yeah, it's a process. You know, there's been a lot of conversations with people that are clearly more of an expert than I am in dealing with grief. You know, we've started the process in terms of Monday. The way we set up the schedule was I wanted just to, you know, the problem, you know, this happened, we're all in the bye, right? So you're making phone calls to people and you're trying to make sense of things, and you're not together, and we're always going to be stronger together. We are stronger together. So Monday we set it up to where we had a chance to be together and share and talk. And, you know, we of course offered some people that can help us sort through what we're feeling and the emotions of what we're feeling. And yesterday we had a what we call a brotherhood breakfast, where we just sat down for about 45 minutes and we just ate together and we just shared and we talked and laughed, cried. And then last night, I think the vigil was beautifully done, beautifully done. It was difficult, as you can imagine. A couple of our players spoke, but it's the one thing that Catalina, his girlfriend, it was very important to her. And, of course, these guys are incredible. And so they showed up in droves to be there to support her.
Have you talked to any other coaches? I mean, because you have mentors. I don't know if you call DQ or Mike or you call Spurry about what do I do? How do I help?
Yeah, I've talked to multiple people. I've talked to coaches. I've talked to, you know, trained psychologists. I've talked to, you know, we've got a great relationship with O2X. You know, they're, you know, former, you know, special operations people. You know, they deal with this, you know, more so than we do on the battlefield and off the battlefield. And but there's no playbook. You know, there's really not. And so that's where the late nights come in. And but the biggest thing for me is being strong for our football team. We've got an incredible locker room. That's where the culture of what we're trying to build. We are bonded more than any of us ever could have thought.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. Could you just take us back to that night? And we haven't really had a chance to talk to you about how you found out and your initial emotions and what you were doing and, you know, what did you do?
Yeah, you know, Clarence, I'm going to be limited with the details. I apologize. I know you guys have to ask those questions. It's been a week now, but the biggest thing was got a phone call, and of course we were in the moment we had reason to be concerned about Marshawn, and so we moved forward with what we thought was the best plan of attack, and you know, a little while later we got word, and I think I'll leave it at that. Just difficult to talk about still, and I'm very, very proud of our guys and the way they've handled this. We had a Zoom meeting on Thursday where guys could get on, and it was very heartfelt, some of the emotions, and it's a strong group, man. It's a strong group of young men, and they're leaning on one another. And one thing I've learned that's interesting is, you know, when you talk to some of the experts, you know, you guys probably do it as well, right? You know, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good, good. You know, and their sense is that's not the right question. It's, what are you feeling? So that was pretty powerful for me.
I know you guys are doing the helmet decals, or are you going to leave with the locker as is? I mean, how do you – where? I mean, I know it's just beginning. You're still trying to get these answers. How are you
– Yeah. Again, we're going to honor Marshawn, his family, a number of different ways. The organization have been amazing. You know, just we've, you know, started the Marshawn Nealon Memorial Fund where we can all give and support Catalina. She's pregnant, and so we want to make sure she's taken care of and the baby's taken care of for the rest of their lives. Our guys are it's very important to them and to us. With the other decisions, he's still part of the team, and there'll be decisions that are made, but that won't be made just by me. That'll be made by me and the leadership of this group, and we'll make the right decision. But, yeah, we've got time to make those decisions.
Brian, Todd Archer with ESPN. Football players and coaches, you guys can compartmentalize things and able to drive through things. How do you drive through something like this? How do you get through something like that?
One day at a time. Because I think it's going to hit everybody different. You know, I literally wasn't sure I could get through my part of last night speaking at his candlelight vigil, and I did. You just take it one day at a time, and you don't have to have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. We probably won't have all the answers, but you lean into one another. You love on one another. I go back to, you know, the culture and the guys in that locker room will be okay because of the strength that they draw from one another. And we've got some guys that have been through this. I've never been through something like this, this close, that hits this close to home. There's guys that I can draw from with their experiences, and everybody deals with it different. Some guys getting out on the grass is going to be the best thing in the world for them. Some guys getting out on the grass is going to be painful, and that's okay. And we're going to give each other grace and time. But I do promise you this, these guys will be ready to play against the Raiders. And we will honor Marshawn with how we play, not just against the Raiders, but for the rest of the season.
You talk about the culture that you've built and the talks you've had with guys, and I'm sure everybody does. Have you said, what did I miss? What could I have done? What could I have seen during
the of course. I mean, those questions are natural. You try not to think about them. But when you're having very open and authentic conversations with these guys, the pain is real. The questions are real. But again, the more you talk to the experts, the people that deal with this, you know, all the time, they say a lot of times you're never going to know, you know. And so, but I'd be lying if I said to you, I don't wake up in the middle of the night or when I'm on the phone talking to one of these guys, have those thoughts like you do.
John Machado with The Athletic. I just wonder, and I know you mentioned the one love part at the beginning, but is there any other type, maybe a moment that stands out to you, your first time being around Marshawn, or just maybe around the facility or during a game or something that you're just thinking of, that you've been thinking about lately?
There's a lot of them. Again, you know, I think I was able to share last night, so we do these, you know, when O2X came in, we did these surveys, and so you got a chance to, you know, you ask the players different questions and try to get to know them on a deeper level, and all the players and coaches fill them out, and just the maturity of Marshawn and the way he spoke and the way he talked about, you know, work ethic and discipline and maturity, and was really, really powerful for me. I think I probably go back to, you know, his touchdown the other night because just the excitement on his face, and it was a huge part in that game for us, gave us a potential for a momentum swing. But when you talk about practice players and the way they work from a OTA to a walkthrough to a game to whatever, you'd be hard pressed to ask anybody in that locker room if anybody worked harder than Marshawn.
And then just what were your thoughts when you see that teams around the league, they have they're doing like moments of silence, things like that. Just what were your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a special league, guys. I mean, we're blessed to be a part of this league. You know, the outpouring of support for not just me, but our players and ownership, and, you know, that's what we love about this league, and that's what we love about this small fraternity of people that we get to be involved with. And if I could show you my phone right now, just the text message that you get from people just showing you love and support and prayer, and, you know, that's a big thing for me right now. You know, spend a lot of time in prayer and looking for answers. But yeah, I mean, the National Football League it's an amazing fraternity, and I feel blessed, and I know our players do, to be a part of it because of the support that we're receiving. But, you know, we do this together. You know, we like I said, you know, we don't move on, but we do move forward, and we do that together, and we do that by locking arms and working and grieving and growing and processing together.
Nick Harris, Four Star Telegram. Whether it be talking to guys on this team, his family, or just thinking back, is there any story that you've learned over the course of the last week about Marshawn that has stood out as, you talk about his genuine love, that part of it?
I'll share this. His high school coach is a guy by the name of Brandon Kimball, and in Marshawn's, you know, survey that he filled out, he talked about, we asked who, you know, three H's, hero, highlight, hardship, and his hero was Coach Kimball. And Coach Kimball spoke last night. I got a chance to visit with him, very emotional. His reasoning for that Coach Kimball was his hero was because he always looked out for him. And I think it shows you as a coach. I thanked him, number one, for that. I thought it was important that he heard that from me. And I also challenged our coaches to understand the impact that we're allowed and blessed and fortunate to have to impact these young men, and not just as football players, but as husbands, fathers, Christians. And so I think the fact that he chose his high school coach shows you the value of relationships to Marshawn and how much he loves the game of football and how much he loved people.
How valuable have the resources that have come in? The league had said on Thursday morning that they sent counseling resources to you guys. How valuable have those resources been? Are they still in the building?
Yeah, yes. Again, the league's been great. Our in-house people have been outstanding. You know, we're doing it together, but, you know, we feel like we've got incredible support. But, you know, at the same time, it's us working through this together, and it's us showing us grace. We're a week out, right? Today's a week out, and it's not going to get easier. It's going to get different, you know, and but, you know, I think the plan of, you know, getting out on the grass tomorrow and running around a little bit will be, like I said, therapeutic for some of these guys. And for some of the guys that are hurting, that's okay too.
Tom.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. You mentioned the culture and your leaders during this time. For some of the guys who have unfortunately dealt with this before, like Dak and Solomon, how big have they been for your group throughout the past week?
I mean, those are two of the, you know, best leaders in the league, in my opinion. We're fortunate to have them. Unfortunately, they're able to talk about something that, you know, has been very, you know, devastating for them in their past. And but it's not just them. I think, you know, we were able to have some, you know, breakout sessions on Monday where we were able to share. And there's a lot of emotions, and I'm not going to get into the details of those things, but it was hard to hear the pain that some of these guys are dealing with, but it was also very uplifting to hear the strength from other guys, and that's the beauty of a team, right? Like, when one side of the ball is playing good, the other side of the ball has to pick them up. When one guy's hurting, someone else has to pick them up. If the head coach is hurting, someone's got to pick me up. And I won't – now I'm hurting. And these guys have picked me up, and I've picked them up. And that's what we're going to continue to do because we love one another. And it's what a family does.
Joe.
Joe Witt, Dallas Morning News. Kind of on that note, you have a lot of people look to you in this kind of situation. How do you check in on yourself and check in on some of the other coaches who are, people are looking to them to make sure they're also doing okay?
Constantly, yeah. I mean, it's constant. You know, I think, it's a little bit like a doctor where you're making the rounds. You know, you're just identifying, okay, I need to talk to this guy. You know, when it broke, I tried to get to every player I could get to. Guys have been great sharing. You know, I always ask before I get off a call or from talking to a guy, hey, anybody I need to be concerned about or whatnot. And guys are – I think that's the thing I'm most proud of that we've built is the culture where guys are able to be real and have hard conversations. And I would change it if I could that we're going through this, but I think that this group of young men are very strong, and they're going to lean into one another, and we'll be okay.
Patrick.
Hey, Coach. Patrick Ball with DallasCowboys.com. First and foremost, sorry for the loss, obviously. For those inside the building, know very well the Cowboys and the resources they put into mental health. And then, of course, you have guys that do work in the community as well, Dak Solomon and so many others. But for the fans that are wondering, you know, what are some of those examples of the resources internally that you guys have for players to be able to come to and voice themselves? I don't know if there's any that you could share for the general public just to let fans know that, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't want to get into specifics details, Patrick, but believe me, there's a team of people. I think we had, you know, seven, grief specialists, I guess you would say, in the building the other day for those breakout sessions. You know, talking to the players, you know, letting them share, as you can imagine. Like, you guys can guess, some guys are more open right now than others. Some guys, it's still very raw. Some guys, they don't want to speak or share. We're asking the right questions to get them to share so that we can help process all the different emotions. But it's been incredible, the support system that we've had, you know, just from our operations people to the support staff to the doctors to the trainers to people that have reached out. I mean, it's nonstop. We want for nothing, but we still miss our brother, Marshawn.
Garrett
Podell, CBS Sports. Brian, you said you've never really gone through something like this before. How do you feel like going through something like this will affect or mold just the way you are as a coach and a person going forward?
I told the players the other day, and I mean it, they're going to probably get tired of it, but I'm going to always tell them how much I love them. And I do. I love them. I care about them. Probably never be the same, to be honest with you. I'm a people person anyways, but, you know, the one thing that helped, I think, a lot of these guys about being on the bye when this happened was most of them were with people that they loved and cared about. They were with family members. I know I hugged my kids and my wife, and that helps soothe the pain for a little bit.
Deuce.
Mike Ducey, Fox 4. As you mentioned, there's no playbook for a coach to try to help his team through this situation. How do you allow your team to grieve, maybe even encourage them to grieve, while also stressing the importance of preparing for the job they have to do?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's where the strength and character of your football team comes in, Deuce. I think, you know, at the end of the day, we have to work back to a regular routine. And that's what we're going to do. You know, we will move forward. The one benefit of playing on Monday night is we've been given a little bit more time to grieve. That grieving process is not over. There's going to be things that affect us differently, you know, throughout the next couple weeks. But we understand our best way to honor Marshawn on the field is by how we play. And that's something that we get to control. And I think the guys are excited about that.
How much are you leaning on?
There you go. An understandably emotional Brian Schottenheimer right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're the KNC Masterpiece. And coming up next, we will try to lighten the mood just a little bit with some My Buddy's an Idiot. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Nico Rantanen, nice move around Pinto. And back for Robertson. Rashad, score! A long time coming and perfectly placed. Jason Robertson.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where the Ottawa Senators were idiots for thinking they could ever slow down the Stars and Jason Robertson. And you know what? I think we might actually pivot here to something else. I'll just throw out one more. Cade Cunningham. This is tough to say. He finished a game with a 46-point triple-double. He had 46 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 5 steals, and 2 blocks. But is he an idiot because he also broke Kobe Bryant's record for most missed shots in an NBA game? He was 14 of 45. So we missed 31
shots. That's the most missed shots? Really?
Yes. The previous record in a game was Kobe Bryant, who had missed 30 shots in 2002.
Was that a game that he scored like 85?
He did score 41, but 41 on 47 shots is not what you want. So it's tough because, like, is Cade an idiot, or did he still have a triple-double with 46 points and he broke a Kobe record?
This is,
I don't know.
That is
probably not the record you want.
It's an interesting question. We don't care about efficiency anymore.
No.
In the NBA.
Okay. How is Luka doing so far?
I mean, I heard Bobby say he's 49-9.
Yeah, he's badass, except he's the worst 3-point shooter in the league. If you look at percentage and volume, he is the worst three-point shooter in the league. But
When Antoine Walker played,
yes,
and he was like, I'm a volume scorer, a volume shooter.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? I need lots of shots to get lots of points.
Right.
And we were like, but that's not Dirk. No. Dirk needs few shots. Like, right. Dirk can score 21 of 21 tonight. That's how he does. And we don't care about that. And I don't know exactly when that changed, because nobody wanted Antoine Walker because of that.
Right.
Was it Harden? I'm not sure Harden's percentages. It seems like Harden, he gets lots of points, lots of everything.
That talked Kobe for a minute, too, I feel
was
like.
Was it Westbrook who got all the numbers?
Right.
But was he an efficient guy? Efficiency doesn't matter like it used to, because defense isn't played the same way that it was. And so, in my opinion, that might be a different thing. We might want to drill in on that a little bit more at some point. But it feels like, because we can score 140 points on a given night, let's just try to, no matter how many shots we missed, we want more opportunities. Let's speed the game up. Let's get as many buckets as we can, which is entertaining as hell. It is thoroughly entertaining. It's not Spurs and Pistons playing in the finals back in the day where they're like,
right.
If we get 80, this was a great game.
That was the worst. Now, we don't normally do this. I wanted to hit a couple of things coming back from the shoddy presser. From the 214, I love you, Corey, and I love you, Kevin. From the 254, I just want to say I love you guys, not just KNC. But everyone at The Fan, you've handled this difficult situation with amazing grace. And all of that spawns from so many people seem to be so impressed, myself included, with how Brian Schottenheimer was trying to navigate through this situation and answer all the questions the best he could. It's an S situation across the board, but I think he represented the Cowboys very well right there.
By doing what?
By facing the questions and giving like
human
responses. Yeah. Yes. That's what I think all the time. And like, that's one of the things that I hate when somebody puts out like an apology statement.
Yeah.
I think it's so stupid. Like, somebody maybe wrote that for you, or you wrote it down on a sheet of paper. Like, I want to hear your voice. Like, I want to see you. I want to know how you really feel. Are you really sorry about what happened? And so, again, it's a crap situation, but Shoddy went out there, and he was just a person who lost somebody he was close to. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
and that's like, people say how we've handled it.
Right.
There's only one. I had a conversation the other day where I felt like I was going to have to do a sales pitch, and I literally told him, I was like, I'm not a salesman. I'm sorry. I can't.
Right.
I cannot sell you anything, but I can tell you exactly what I think. And I only know how to be what I am.
Right.
And like all the things, my silly things that I say are me. They're human. They're part of me. You said one day that you're not sure our bosses really understand the Corey experience still after almost 14 years of this.
Fact.
But that's like I can only be who I am. And that's, I think we are, whenever something like this happens, the first thing we think is, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
I love that he said that. Not how are you doing? What are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, how are you feeling? Some days I do. I can tell by looking at Kevin. Hey, man, based on the fact that you almost punched through that table just now, are you feeling all right?
Right.
You know, or something else. And I think that is an important thing for all of us is, and look, we're the only ones in this together, all of us as humans.
Yeah.
So we gotta look out for each other.
Yeah, so I just really like that. And also, as an aside, Cristiano Ronaldo said that the next World Cup will definitely be his last with Portugal, in case you really wanted to know that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bang Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Russell flings it out. Davis brings in a three.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and I want to start our crosstalk by apologizing to Gavin Dawson for not taking his words of warning urgently enough. Mm. You told us in our crosstalk.
Yeah, you did.
We were on Nico Firewatch, and I was like, that feels a little early. And like about 12 hours later, give or take, is when the news started to trickle out. So Thank you to D&M Leasing for setting this up, and I apologize for not, like, taking how urgent you were trying to make it for us and putting that into action.
Well, you know, I got one, and it'd been a while, so I was due. But I really want to salute the fans for everything they did and, you know, making sure this happened and not letting the opportunity slip through on Monday night.
Yeah,
that fourth quarter was pivotal
with the game on the line, and you're like, we can, and then Cooper Flagg's mom was retweeting, people were complaining about that same thing, and it just felt like, it really did feel like power of the people right there in getting this done.
Yeah, the entire thing has, absolutely. I mean, that is a late game situation within a point or two.
Yep.
And it's like, here's PJ Washington at the free throw line, and nobody's actually concerned with the game at hand. It's all about the big picture situation. And I love the way the Mavs fans have handled all this. It's been beautiful.
Now, speaking of the big picture, Corey, try not to listen to this part. You are still a team that has your first round pick and that doesn't have outright control of another the first round pick until 2031. You don't have a second round pick until 2030. You have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving under contract this year and the next year. And then the year after that, there's player options, which you could have them making a combined like $110 million. Big picture, there is a lot of work to do.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of work to do. I do not side with the fans. I think it's desperately clinging to what that miracle feeling was when you made the conference finals and then you're back in the finals and everything appeared to be heading in a great direction. And it's hard to break away from that. It took me two seasons of Rangers failure to sort of acknowledge that. Wow, you know that, well, we're not going back to that point in time.
Right.
You know, so I get it from Mavs fans, and that one game that they had last year where Anthony Davis was incredible, had one of the best halves of basketball you'll ever see.
It was amazing.
It made the appetite, seem legitimate. Like, hey, you know, we could actually do this. But, you know, I think there is a slight probability that you could pull it together and everybody'd stay healthy. But I put it in the low single percentiles.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking maybe five.
I mean, your much better probability is to acknowledge that we're not going to get it done with these guys and trade them before all of their value is gone and you're stuck with them. Like, this is a situation that's going to expire in the next 12 to 18 months at the latest.
So we were kicking that around. How long does it take to rebuild or put together tangible Anthony Davis trade value? Because, I mean, he has some value one way or another. But, like, it feels like you need to get him back out on the court to build that up. But what does that really prove if he plays for 2 months and you're like, yeah, that's great? Like,
I think the risk of injury is far greater than his loss of value because he's only averaged 20 points and 9 rebounds and is currently injured. You know,
so would you not put him back out there?
No, I'm not going to play him again.
Ooh,
yeah.
Spicy. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the risk of him getting a more catastrophic injury,
which is there.
Yes, very much so there with the calf strain. We've seen the Achilles tendon issues all throughout the NBA. And for a guy his size, his age, already dealing with some level of calf strain, I kind of lean with Dawson here. Like, you just got to hope you can get whatever you can get for him at this point, because if you do run him out there for an extended period of time, it's only a matter of time. Even if it's not the big injury, it's just another soft tissue, whatever it is, day to day. We'll see him in a week. We'll see him in a couple of weeks. I think you just gotta bite the bullet right now for whatever it is that you can actually get for him. And I don't know. I'm interested to see what that is.
There's always somebody out there that will trade 2 ones for Rick Meyer.
Yeah.
There's always an idiot out there.
Yeah.
And so what you have to hope is you call the right idiot is what you got to do. And so
the star idiot's not making the call anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You've
that's a good point.
There's always going to be somebody out there that thinks they can. And so to me, I don't know. I would be very unlikely to trade for a guy that I haven't seen play.
Yeah.
That's my problem. I will give you something, but I will give you more value if I could see him play.
For how long? How long do you need to see it for? A week? A month?
Yeah, I need him. I need him to line up and play like 2-3 weeks is what I need to see him play.
I can't do that. You know, I'm just going to have to take whatever you're willing to offer. I'm going to somebody else because the Achilles tendonitis that could be, you know, we just saw Halliburton, and 5 years before that we saw KD. I can't risk this.
How does the Kyrie factor into that kind of same logic of thinking? Like,
you know, Kyrie's a little bit older. I don't know if his value is as high. But yeah, I think absolutely you want to move on from Kyrie Irving as well, because you need players that match his timeline. And I think he might be able to get decent assets back for Kyrie Irving from a contender. You know, contenders, especially, you know, you have an NFL draft perspective towards this, and it's like, well, a first rounder, you know, like the NBA condenses four NFL rounds into one round.
Yeah.
And by the time you are past pick 12 or something, it's not worth jack squat. So I think a lot of teams would be willing to give you a one if they're lacking playmaking to have Kyrie Irving join their team, and I think you could get two ones for Anthony Davis.
Corey, you'll be glad to hear this. It's another student from the 817. This is a student from the hockey professor, and he did give us the double extra credit that y'all mentioned.
Let's
go. We really appreciate that. Best radio station out there.
What was the points, though? Ooh. Like, what was it? Was it one, or was it 10 points? So you got five, and now you got 10? Well, I mean, I'm happy that we were able to help this class out, and now they're going to go on and be great professionals. Some of them were borderline failing, and now they're passing, and that makes me feel good.
Have you guys ever gone back to your alma maters and talked to radio people about your life and what you've done?
I did. I went back to UNT a night when Spittle.
Okay.
I went to Hank Dickinson's class, but not Brian Adams.
Yeah. See, no, I got invited to the North Texas thing, and I told the people there, I said, there's absolutely nothing I studied that got me my job. That's what I'm saying. I said, if you go out there and you get fired from your profession, then they will make you a radio TV guy. You know, so I said, if any of you guys can do that, that's your best path to getting into sports.
I like it. Yeah. That's a sound strategy.
Yeah.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program?
Everybody looked at me like, you're got to be kidding me.
Pure gold as always. Thanks for asking, Hagee. We got a couple of guests coming up, including Bobby Marks at 4 o'clock. The front office insider will get his thoughts on, you know, Davis, Irving, everything. But Danny Cannell is going to join us at 6 to talk college football.
I love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.